Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
In the midst of this coronavirus and all the panic that we see around the country, even around the world, we want to give you a message of hope. We also want to talk about some of the issues that are being implicated during this time. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. We're going to address this on Faith and Freedom with Holly Mead. I want to begin with a passage from Scripture. It comes from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's a powerful passage, Holly. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We should not be fearful. I know fear is certainly a natural human response to circumstances typically that are outside of our control that threaten us or that we perceive threaten us. But God has not given us that spirit of fear. Fear paralyzes and hope liberates. And with all the scriptures throughout both Old and New Testament, they are filled with hope and positive reassurance that even in times of trouble, even in times of difficulty, in times of great stress, we can press into the Lord. And even during those times, we can have peace and hope.
You know, and you see God's faithfulness throughout history. Our nation has gone through many different crises. I think of the Depression. You know, maybe some, you may not always remember that. And my mother used to talk about the Depression. But in the 32nd president, who Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in his first inaugural address, he spoke to the nation as it was going through the Depression. He said, "Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasonable, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. We face arduous days that lie before us in the warm courage of national unity, with a clear consciousness of seeking old and precious moral values. In this dedication of a nation, we humbly ask the blessing of God. May He protect each and every one of us." And you know, you think about our nation went through that at that time and how we became so much better. And God will protect us and get us through this time as well.
Mm-hmm. He sure will. Well, we want to hear from you because we want to best represent you. We have a survey that we've posted at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. And we also have a two-page memo about Know Your Rights in a State of Emergency, which you can download from lc.org. And you can also go to Liberty Counsel's Facebook, and you can do the survey right there as well, and you can send it to your friends. We talked a little bit about some of the results of the survey, and the results are still coming in, so we do want to hear from you. One of the questions we asked is, what is the greatest risk from the virus? And the responses are individual death, economic fallout, political manipulation, both economic fallout and political manipulation and other. And when we look at the responses, less than a quarter of the people who responded to our survey said individual death. The vast majority said a combination of economic fallout and political manipulation. That's the greatest risk that they have responded to so far. With regards to the restrictions on church meeting size, the question is, should the states continue the current restrictions, loosen the current restrictions? And it has some additional information there about having different people who are susceptible stay at home but allow other people to go out, or vice versa, to have those people who are less susceptible stay away. It's kind of a reverse of one of those options. And then the other one is remove all restrictions. A little more than a quarter of the people said continue the current restrictions. And almost three-quarter of the people said to loosen the restrictions or completely remove the restrictions on churches. That one a little bit surprised me, because a little bit more than a quarter said continue the current restrictions. And that may be in time changing. It may be because of different states imposing different restrictions. Some states started with 250, others with, you know, dropped it down to 100, then 50. Some have gone down to as little as 10. I really have a problem personally and constitutionally with that kind of restriction on churches, particularly in situations like, say, for example, New York. New York has a restriction where they say only essential operations or businesses can operate. Well, in their view, churches are not essential.
But
liquor stores are essential.
That's pretty absurd.
Now, who is making those determinations? Yeah. The problem is that's not being debated in the legislature. They're not hearing from the people. It's a governor or a mayor, depending upon the situation where these are coming from, that just simply talks to someone in his or her office, prints it out on the computer, types it up, and then goes out and issues a press conference without thinking through the implications of what they're doing or the constitutional implications of these kinds of restrictions.
Well, maybe it's an opportunity for Christians to hold church outside liquor stores.
Well, yeah, you can hold church outside liquor
Think
stores.
Outside
you know,
the
some
box.
Churches actually, I've seen, there's one in Central Florida, there's a group of people holding church out in front of an abortion clinic.
Oh, I think that's amazing.
There's other churches, like Florida, for example, the governor has certain restrictions on meetings, but has not imposed those on churches. Mm-hmm. Some churches have voluntarily chosen not to meet. Other churches are meeting as normal. Many churches have gone to online. But in other states, the restriction on churches actually is very onerous.
But, you know, I think about it's an opportunity also for the church to be the church out into the marketplace. Think about that church in Alabama that decided to open up its parking lot. It has a huge parking lot and allowed testing to happen in the parking lot. So while people were waiting in line, they hooked up a radio signal so they could hear about the testing instructions, but they also offered a text so they could text in their prayer request. They had
and
over 300 prayer requests in one day.
In one day, yeah.
There's the
so
church
think
being
outside the
church.
The box.
Yeah.
You know, each church has to decide for itself. I have my own personal strong feelings regarding whether churches should stay open, and personally I think that they ought to stay open. In other ways, they can do a lot of different kinds of things. They can go out into the community. The church mm-hmm. historically has never run from diseases. They've ran to them mm-hmm. to provide help to those who need help. And as Christians throughout history, particularly the diseases that hit the Roman Empire and actually took the lives of about one-third of the people at the time.
And look how Christianity grew during those plagues.
And what happened was when the Christians were not considering the welfare of their own physical life, but in fact considering the well-being of the spiritual and mm-hmm. physical well-being of people they were ministering to, even though the church had been criticized, the pagans looked at the church and said, there's something different
right.
about
these
people.
They care about us. They love us.
They're
yeah.
coming to us when others have abandoned us.
Right.
And we're talking about a disease back in the early beginnings, post-Christianity. It was in the 300s, in the 200s, 300s, 400s time frame. A couple of diseases came through, even took out some Roman emperors. Mm-hmm. But in some cases, one-third of the population died in certain places. So it was a very significant disease that went throughout the Roman Empire. And yet the Christians ran
right.
to help. They did not consider their lives to be physically more valuable than the lives of those they were trying to help, and also their eternal destination, their,
right.
their souls.
And
salvation.
So many people came to the Lord as a result.
They did. They did. You know, Luke chapter 12, verse 22 says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. My problem with the restrictions on churches is when someone can just simply print out a restriction on the computer and say 250, 150, 10, then they can do anything. And in some of these places where the meeting restriction is 10, think about this. Jesus could not have met with the 12 disciples.
Right.
Somebody would have to stay outside. I mean, you know,
interesting
people
thought.
Around
yeah.
the world are meeting even in home groups, and they know when they do that, in some places of the world, if they get caught, they're dead or they're going to be put in labor camps. not over the virus, but I'm talking about people that live in these countries that are hostile to Christianity. So pray that the church will be the church, whatever it is, to show and shine the love of Jesus Christ. We're going to be talking throughout this week about some of the results from the survey, which we want you to take, and also your legal rights in the time of crisis, the whole issue of our constitutional freedoms, balancing it against this virus. Go to lc.org for the survey, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.